Hi, I'm Alex Bice, Senior Editor of Cure.
And I'm Brielle Bennion, Assistant Managing Editor of Cure.
And it wasn't even 2 weeks into the new year until the Food and Drug Administration made their very first approval. In this case, it was a Keytruda regimen for certain patients with gynecologic cancers, and we here at Cure spoke with the primary investigator on the study leading to the approval about what patients need to know about this latest indication. Also last week, we highlighted the Lymphedema Treatment Act and spoke to an expert about the new law. And another story popped up in the regulatory space as the FDA granted a fast-track designation to speed up the review of a novel drug used to treat patients with relapsed or refractory CLL or SLL. And finally, research from the American Cancer Society showed that Medicaid expansion states tended to have improved post-surgical outcomes in patients with non-small cell lung cancer.
So first up, the Food and Drug Administration granted an approval to Keytruda plus chemoradiotherapy for the treatment of stages 3 to 4A cervical cancer. And this is the first approval of an anti-PD-1 therapy with chemotherapy for this patient population, and the third FDA approval for treating cervical cancer with Keytruda.
That's right, Brielle. And this week, I was fortunate enough to speak with Dr. Linda Duska, a gynecologic oncologist and the principal investigator on the study, which led to this approval. Here's what she had to say.
I'm in Central Virginia, and in rural areas like this, we have so much cervical cancer, and it's horrible because this is a completely preventable disease. And my opinion, in the U.S., women shouldn't have this disease at all because we have a robust, really successful screening program, and we have a safe, effective vaccine. So we shouldn't be seeing this disease in the U.S. at all. Yet somehow we see close to 11,000 cases a year. And in particular, in Central Virginia, we see a lot of this disease. So this is our chance up front to cure these women. This is the best chance we have to cure them. And so if we have an opportunity in these advanced stage patients to give them a better chance of cure, then that's a really huge thing for our patients.
So Dr. Duska was the lead author on KEYNOTE-A18. The trial enrolled over 1,000 patients and demonstrated a 30% decrease in progression for those receiving Keytruda plus chemoradiotherapy. Overall survival data, which is the average time patients live before death of any cause, is not yet mature, but the treatment showed a 41% reduction in the risk of disease progression or death. So while Dr. Duska emphasized that cervical cancer is a preventable disease thanks to a safe and effective vaccine, she did say that for patients with the disease, this new regimen is particularly exciting. And also, January is Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, so definitely stay tuned to curetoday.com for more of our coverage on the disease.
Absolutely, absolutely. In other news, the Lymphedema Treatment Act, which was signed into federal law on December 23rd, 2022, is now in effect as of January 1st of this year, allowing Medicare coverage for doctor-prescribed compression supplies for patients experiencing lymphedema. The bill encompasses standard and custom-fitted gradient compression garments and other approved items prescribed by healthcare professionals to treat lymphedema. Now, basically what that means is that patients insured by Medicare Part B can now have their lymphedema garments covered by insurance. The coverage is expected to ease financial burdens on patients, especially as these garments can be expensive.
So I spoke with Joanna Doran, CEO of Triage Cancer, who emphasized the importance of patient and provider awareness about coverage rights, appealing denials, and navigating the process, because this is all really new. Patients, even their clinicians, might not know now that Medicare can cover these lymphedema sleeves and compression garments. Although the law doesn't mandate private insurers to cover compression sleeves for lymphedema patients, Doran noted that Medicare's coverage sets a precedent usually for broader access in the future. So basically, she was saying that while this doesn't force private insurers to cover these garments, most of the time we see that once Medicare starts to cover something, private insurers tend to follow suit. So hopefully we see that in the near future as well.
Brielle, why are these garments such an important part of life with lymphedema?
So lymphedema is a condition that patients experience from a range of conditions, but we see it a lot in the cancer space for patients with breast cancer who've had their lymph nodes removed, and it causes painful swelling in the arms, maybe the legs, depending on where you have the lymph node damage. And right now, there's no cure for lymphedema, and it could really, really be a burdensome thing to live with every day. So these compression garments basically kind of squeeze your limbs and redistribute that lymphatic fluid a little bit, and they just improve the quality of life, decrease pain in patients with cancer. We still don't have a cure for it, like I mentioned, but this is hopefully one more step to patients accessing something that can make their life better.
And in other news, the FDA has granted fast track designation to NX-5948, which is a novel drug for adults with relapsed or refractory chronic lymphocytic leukemia or small lymphocytic lymphoma who have previously undergone two lines of therapy, including a BTK inhibitor and a BCL2 inhibitor. Now, fast track designation aims to expedite the development and review of drugs which are addressing serious conditions with unmet medical needs. So, this is a process designed by the FDA to try and get these drugs to market faster to bring treatments to patients who otherwise might not have the greatest array of options. NX-5948 is currently in a phase 1A/1B clinical trial with initial findings presented at the 2023 American Society of Hematology, or ASH, annual meeting indicating safety, tolerance, and clinical activity. The drug showed no dose-limiting toxicities or treatment-related side effects leading to discontinuation, and the most common side effects were contusion, nausea, and thrombocytopenia.
Yeah, it's always exciting to see new drugs coming through the pipeline. So this is a pretty big step, and we'll be sure to cover it as it gets closer and potentially gets approved.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
So next up in the law or regulatory space, we covered an article based on a study that found that states with Medicaid expansion tended to have a significant decrease in early post-operative mortality from non-small cell lung cancer. So basically, the findings showed that for patients with lung cancer who underwent surgery, those who lived in states that had Medicaid expansion, which means that more patients are eligible for Medicaid, they tended to have better outcomes. The research focused on nearly 15,000 patients who were undergoing surgery for lung cancer, with 62.1% who lived in states supporting Medicaid expansion. The study found that notable reductions in 30-day and 90-day post-operative death in patients with stage 1, 2, or 3 non-small cell lung cancer in expansion states. Patients in non-expansion states were found to be younger, non-Hispanic, Black, uninsured, and with comorbidities, so they had other health complications as well. The study also evaluated changes in early mortality before and after the Affordable Care Act implementation, showing a decrease in the 30-day mortality rate in expansion states from 0.97% to 0.26% after the Affordable Care Act went into play. Now, advocates, including the American Cancer Society, continue to emphasize the importance of expanding Medicaid eligibility to improve health outcomes. You know, I think the idea behind it is really simple and easy to comprehend. If more patients have healthcare coverage, more patients can get the treatment that they need and, you know, outcomes improve.
Absolutely. And that mortality rate drop from 0.97 to 0.26, that is significant. That is, that is a big drop.
Yeah, for sure. And that's just looking at people within the first month of their surgery. That's just a 30-day mortality rate. So it'd be interesting to kind of see what this is on a broader scope, you know what I mean? Maybe the year-long mortality. We don't have that data, but I definitely think it'd be something interesting to consider.
Yeah, something tells me we will have that data, and when we do, we'll be reporting on it.
Absolutely.
And Brielle, we would be remiss if we did not mention the fact that there are two pretty big conferences happening back to back as we record this, the first one getting underway.
So we are getting ready to cover the American Society of Clinical Oncology, also known as ASCO, Gastrointestinal Cancer Symposium. So that's going on for the next few days. By the time this podcast comes out, the conference just ended. And then starting this upcoming week, we'll be covering the ASCO Genitourinary Cancer Symposium, so ASCO GU. So definitely stay tuned to curetoday.com for more coverage on that.
Absolutely. And I get to use one of my favorite words, vanguard, when I get to say that these conferences are really at the vanguard of news in the oncology space. And they are where potentially you're going to find out about practice-changing, life-changing, medicine, science-changing findings. And us and our colleagues are dedicated to bringing you all of the news out of these conferences. So as Brielle said, stay tuned to curetoday.com for all the latest, and be sure to watch out in your podcast feeds because I'm sure Brielle and I will be back soon to break down some of the highlights.
Yes, we will.
All right, until next time, I've been Alex Bice.
And I'm Brielle Bennion.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Cure Today and on X at Cure_Today. And be sure to sign up for Cure's e-newsletter for the latest in cancer updates, research, and educational opportunities.